I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. We continue talking about the provincial election and referendum campaigns with Erwin Loy from the 24 Hours paper. We'll discuss the leaders, the issues, and more, like how the John Van Dongen story over his license being revoked will play. ErwinLoy.com is his website. Please welcome back to the Planta on the Line program, Erwin Loy. Good morning, Mr. Loy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us. So the Solicitor General, John Van Dongen, his license has been revoked. Do you think this will matter in this campaign?
It will and it won't. What it does is it helps temper any kind of, I suppose, backlash from the NDP's own troubles this week with Ray Lamb, their candidate in False Creek, who had to step down earlier this week because of photos he put on Facebook. Certainly this is, I think, is a more major issue concerning, you know, a cabinet minister, obviously. Whether or not it'll affect his own chances, I mean, I can't really see him being not elected in Abbotsford. It's not the NDP's perhaps strongest shot, but it certainly doesn't, it's not good news for the Liberals, but whether or not it'll be a major turning point in the campaign, it's a bit vague on the face, but I can't see it being a major issue. You know, maybe three or four more similar incidents involving cabinet ministers, but if it's limited to this, then I can't see it being a turning point.
You mentioned the NDP's trouble in this campaign so far. Whose fault do you think it is? Do you think it's Carol James's fault? Can we blame that squarely on her?
Well, I think, I mean, well, if we're talking about that one specific issue, then no, you know, the issue of Ray Lamb, then no, I don't think you can blame, you know, you have to trust your campaign team to be able to vet the candidates. And to be fair to Ray Lamb, you know, it was a fairly innocent mistake by a fairly, you know, young politician who has very little experience. So in terms of that, you can't really blame Carol James for something that her party and her candidate should have been aware of. You know, it's such a silly mistake to have, you know, those kinds of pictures on your Facebook website. I don't think people can blame Ray Lamb for having those pictures. I think, you know, if everyone was completely innocent of those, then no one would be running in this election. However, you know, it's just common sense. If you're running in a provincial election, you know you're going to have all kinds of even your past is going to be dug up. Pictures like those should really be put away. So I don't think you can blame James for that. However, the bigger issue of how the campaign is going so far, you know, James oversees her campaign. She's got to have a bigger say in what the issues are this election. And I don't think she's been doing a good job so far of articulating the issues that will stick with voters. You know, the carbon tax has been a good one for them, but it's obviously been a controversial one, too. I suppose that's where, for them, if they look at the polls, they see when they raise how low the carbon tax, you know, their numbers have gone up in the past, so why wouldn't they politically? But obviously it's left themselves open to some of the shots from some people within the environmental movement, and so, you know, on that sense, they haven't really won the issue yet.
But just back to Ray Lamb for just a second. Did you think that he should have resigned?
Yes and no. I personally thought the images were fairly innocent. You know, I don't think. I remember reading a quote from Mary McNeil, who's the Liberal candidate in the riding. She was talking about the photos being offensive and he should apologize. And I suppose that's the kind of thing you have to say if you're a politician. But at the same time, if you really think about it, I mean, really, are those images that bad? You know, I suppose extend to argue there. You know, it seemed in all, you know, good fun for him. You know, maybe, perhaps not everyone has those specific images, but I'm sure there are some from everyone's, you know, college or university days or high school days where they're perhaps doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or, I don't know, drinking a bottle of beer that probably doesn't look good for a potential MLA, but it's one of those things that should have been taken care of beforehand, and, you know, just go through your Facebook photos, untag them, that kind of thing. I don't, you know, he's a young politician. I remember he ran for a nomination for city council with Vision Vancouver last fall, and I covered one of the, I was a panelist on one of the debates that Vision Vancouver held among their their potential candidates. And he struck me as being very well-intentioned, but also very young. You know, he was an activist in the community, involved in community organizations. So he felt that he was, you know, ready for the job. But when it came down to, I think the topic was homelessness and solving homelessness and building housing, and it started to become, you know, a discussion about, I suppose, minute details of city policy, like using DCLs and tax levies and what to do about that. And he just got up on stage and said, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know enough about the issue to talk about this, which on one hand was refreshing because there were certainly a lot of other candidates who didn't know about the issue but were still willing to talk about it. But on the other hand, you know, particularly in a civic election campaign in Vancouver, if you can't talk about housing and homelessness and you have nothing to bring to the table in a debate, then what are you doing there? So I was a bit surprised to see he was running for office again so soon. And obviously this proves that he's, you know, a bit young, but there's no reason he can't come back in the future, perhaps a little bit further into the future when something like this has died down a bit.
Yeah, now, back to Carol James and the troubles that she's had in the campaign. I'm surprised that the environment, an issue that the NDP has done well with in the past and that they seem to be known for, it seems to have run away from them. And
yeah.
Where do you think these disaffected NDP environmentalist voters go? And, you know, it's surprising that they could go to the Liberals, couldn't they?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing with the carbon tax. It was a very smart move that came at an interesting time for the Liberals because it is such a policy that on the face of it, you know, I think everyone realizes that perhaps the way the carbon tax is formulated, maybe it could use improvements. Maybe it's not directed exactly where it should be. The mayors, you know, obviously this week the news came out that the mayors want the carbon tax to go to transit. You know, should it be revenue neutral? Should it not? But ignoring all that, the fact is that it's a major policy announcement from this government, and it's a major step forward in terms of pricing our carbon and putting a price on things that are bad for the environment. And that's what environmentalists of all stripes like, whether or not they'll actually support the NDP or not. So it's interesting. So the Liberals, by doing that, kind of cut off some of that support by putting such a policy out there. So I don't know. It's interesting that that, you know, the polls going into this campaign were saying the environment was really not up there on the list. It was obviously the economy and crime and things like that. Yet all the debate so far, other than, you know, the recent troubles with various candidates, has centered on the carbon tax. Although that being said, I don't think the issue is so much the environment, but really the NDP's opposition to this policy. So I don't know if we're really discussing the environment and people are that see it as that as the issue this election. It's more of a policy thing. The controversy is revolving around, you know, environmentalists supporting the NDP. I think the Liberals figure if they can split some of the vote in some of the Green vote and some key riding, would expect some of the left or center vote to go to the Green Party, perhaps. If they can get enough, then that'll be enough to set them up in at least a few ridings where the environmental vote might play well to the NDP, or might have played well to the NDP.
There are 11 ridings in Vancouver, and I live in Kensington, so that's the one that I'm most interested in. What does it look like to you in my riding of Kensington? Do you think it's gone NDP in the last? It went NDP in the last election in 2001. It didn't. It went Liberal. Previous to that, it has been an NDP riding. What's your sense of it this time around?
Well, it's some of these Vancouver ridings and the Surrey ridings, they've really, you know, with BC's pendulum of elections the last little while, they've just, it's hard to tell because this swung back and forth. For example, the Surrey ridings, you know, the NDP won the Western Surrey ridings quite handily last time, but in the 2001 slaughter, I suppose, of the NDP, they were all taken handily by the Liberals. So in Vancouver, Kensington, it's a riding that the NDP won relatively handily last time. You know, it wasn't a landslide, but it was what 6-7% So it's kind of beyond the swing riding part of it. But you have a new candidate this time around. So without a an incumbent, perhaps it's it would lean a bit more NDP. I mean, it's traditionally been an NDP routing. 2001 was a bit of an anomaly with the landslide Liberal victory. So, you know, it's an interesting battle. I don't know if we can predict who's going to win right now.
So do you think that amongst the 11 Vancouver ridings, it'll be status quo after the 12th?
Well, I mean, we have the interesting dynamic of the new riding breakdowns in downtown. So let's see. You know, I think the plan might be to from the parties to kind of split the downtown riding with you know, Vancouver Burrard now being made up of False Creek and the West End. It would appear that Mary McNeil in False Creek, if she didn't have a lead before, certainly did now with Ray Lamb dropping out. I think, you know, I can't see Gordon Campbell or certainly Colin Hanson losing his mayor ridings. I could see that falling in place pretty much as before. I would expect that Cash Heed would take the Fraser View riding, but, you know, who knows? It was a close run last time with Wally Opal, I think closer than the Liberals expected. So, generally speaking, though, I don't see any big surprises in Vancouver. Nothing's really happened so far with the Vancouver candidates, other than Ray Lamb, that would lead me to believe that there's going to be a big swing. You know, speaking of Kensington, I'm not sure if Mabel Elmore is as a, you know, big or well known a candidate as someone like Chudnovsky was. So she might have a more difficult time than her predecessors. You know, she's not a former BC premier, for example, like Eugene Desaulniers, who took the riding before. So that might be a riding that they could drop. But then again, it's been traditionally an NDP stronghold. So I'm not sure if there are obvious ridings in Vancouver that should be changing hands.
Do you think the Greens will be a factor at all?
You know, that's a funny thing. I never want to count out a party, and I know the Greens have taken a lot of shots over the years, and it's come to a point where they've got very legitimate policy. But at the same time, I just received an email yesterday from the Greens saying that they had nominated the candidates in all ridings, and I was thinking to myself, really? We're, you know, a couple weeks into the election. There's what, 2 or 3 weeks until voting day, and they just nominated all their ridings. It just comes across as being a bit disorganized when you haven't really even elected all your candidates in every single riding, and we're already in the middle of the election campaign, literally. I can't think of a single riding in which it's obvious that they have a chance. There are some stronger candidates than others. I'm thinking Damien Kettlewell, for example, but his riding still got to be considered a long shot. I don't know. I can't imagine, you know, in a system with STV, they could get enough votes, but right now, with the current system we have, there's just no obvious riding where the Greens, you could say, yeah, they have a reasonable shot at taking this riding.
STV, you mentioned that. Do you think people know much about it? I mean, I've noticed that there's not been as much coverage, perhaps, of it.
Yeah, there's been less coverage this time around. I imagine that's going to change in the next couple of weeks as people realize, oh yeah, we're voting for that again. I suppose it's also, from a media perspective, because it has been around for so long now, we're talking about, half a decade, it's not as new, and people assume that people know about it, but really the level of knowledge about it, I think, is roughly similar. I think we'll be seeing a lot more from the various, you know, yes and no campaigns, and I think the media, including our paper, 24 Hours, will be doing a lot more about it. But for now, I think it's one of those things that's going to sneak up on voters, and you know, when they come to, if they don't pay attention to the politics, they're going to come to, you know, the ballot box and say, oh yeah, what's this SDV thing again? If I were the Greens, that's what I would campaign on right now is electoral reform. And you know, if they had a different voting system, they'd have a much better shot of actually, you know, getting in power, well, perhaps not in power, but in office at least in a couple spots. But for now, I think, you know, they can only hang their hope on a change voting system.
Do you have a prediction on whether it'll pass or not? Is there a sense that you have being out there in the community reporting on all of this?
You know, it's hard to say, but it came so close last time, and I think the general feeling is that perhaps this isn't the ideal system, and that it's kind of hard to explain to people how exactly it works. Yet, I think most people realize first past the post doesn't quite produce the most accurate results.
Yeah.
I think BC is a perfect example of that. So there might, you know, all you need is that couple extra percent for it to pass this time around. Then again, there was a lot more coverage and push for it last time around when it was a new thing. So my guess is that it might pass just based on the fact that it was so close last time around. But I haven't really seen much polling and whatnot to suggest where exactly people are at with it right now. I think if the Greens step up their campaign and focus on that issue, it might crystallize the issue a bit more for voters. For now, I think it's hard to say, but I imagine it would pass just because it was so close last time.
Do you think this Patrick Kinsella stuff that Sean Holman's been writing about, a lot of you guys have been writing about, do you think this will matter at all in this campaign? Do you think it has?
The NDP would hope so. I mean, the problem with Kinsella, and I know the problem with, Sean Holman used to write for 24 Hours, the problem with it, even writing it as a story in our paper on a daily basis, was that it's so hard to explain to readers what exactly this all means. And I think a lot of that has come out mainly thanks to Holman, of course. He's done great work on the issue. But at the same time, it's almost a decade old now. Do voters really think of that? Whether or not it'll be an issue, I think it comes down to credibility right now in this campaign. And, you know, certainly the Liberals have tried to show that they're the most credible party to lead the province, you know, what with the economy and whatnot. And so this plays to that issue, but I'm not sure if it's stuck because it's such a complicated issue. It is in court. You know, half the things are before the court. The Liberals can't comment on anything, which on one hand doesn't make them look good, but on the other hand, it kind of reduces the story in that it's, you know, very one-sided all the time. I think the NDP need to concentrate on making it an issue from their point of view, really explaining it to the public, because I'm not sure what the public knows about it, you know, for other than, you know, political observers know a lot about it now, thanks a lot to Sean Holman's reporting. But the general public, I'm not sure if they really associate BC Rail and with the Liberals, and even if they did, I'm not sure if they know, you know, enough to really indict them for it. You know, is it enough to send the government out of office when there's so many question marks in the air with the trial? If I were the NDP, I would launch an education campaign. Really, so far they've kind of tied it into just general charges of corruption and things like that. But those are so general and so easy to deny. And all you need is one slightly off error in your ad, and the Liberals can target on that and say, oh, well, you're full of error. So I think they need to really focus in on BC Rail, and I think Leonard Krogh, the NDP's Leonard Krogh, has done a bit of that, but I think they could stand to use a bit more, because right now I don't think the public really knows that much about the issue and ties it to the Liberals.
Erwin, I appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and we'll continue to read you and the 24 Hours.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The website for more is erwinloy.com. Of course, you can read him in the 24 Hours. Erwin Loy on the line. I'm Joseph Plante.